Today is our last sermon on this series called Relationship. I am bummed about it because I just could talk all year long on relationships, right? You know, we all can do better and continue to live better lives. And the topic of relationship has really enriched me, and I hope it has been a great topic for you. This morning, I would like to invite the Vogrops and the Hoovers, but I can never get it right. And we're going to be joined by, we'll be three couples up here today talking to you about the importance of apology. I always have a theme for you that I believe is important, and it drives the sermon. And the theme for today is this: apologies open the door for forgiveness, which brings renewed life to any relationship. Part of being human is that we all make mistakes, and saying I'm sorry is one of the most scary thing. We hurt people sometimes knowingly and sometimes not knowing, but we all buy into this worldly idea that tells us this. You know, to make a mistake is a human thing. You live and you learn. As if it gives us the excuse to make mistakes in life and to hurt people, so therefore you're like, you know what, I did that today and I might not do that tomorrow. We make mistakes every day in our lives, small or big, sometimes it's even a faux pas, but reality is we all have a difficult time recognizing and admitting our wrongdoing. Saying I'm sorry is hard to say. But there's a lot of people that say I'm sorry is to mask in the problem, and they say I'm sorry in the attempt to cover up the idea of really recognizing the problem of the mistake and the wrongdoing that they are committing. To apologize is to acknowledge our own failures in a relationship. It's to acknowledge that we can and we are capable of hurting someone else. It is difficult, but it's one of the most important aspects of relationship. And for God, it's very important. If you are to have any kind of relationship with God, it must start with an apology. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23, we read this: for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. The idea that Paul is trying to pass on to us in Romans chapter 3, verses 23, is that we all have made mistakes, we are going to make mistakes, and we ought to recognize the mistakes that we have made. The question is, when was the last time you made a mistake towards your spouse, towards your co-worker, your neighbors, your friend, your kids, and have recognized the mistake? One of the things that we live off from this passage that we often forget, we all read chapter 3, verses 23, but we forget verse 24. Verse 24 says this: and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing that Paul is telling us there. You will make mistake. You have been made a mistake. But because of Jesus Christ, what he has done, because of the redemption that he gives and he has given to you, because of the justification, the change he brought into your life, that mistake doesn't have to be repeated anymore. It's the time to apologize, correct, and live a better life. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Laura read for us, God, that therefore if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that somebody has something against you, what do? You leave it. You don't finish the worship part. You go say sorry first, and then you come back. Even in the act of worshiping God, we ought to recognize our mistakes. Isn't that what we do at communion time? We come and we say, God, I'm sorry for the mistakes that I have made. We search our hearts. And then he propels us to live better lives. We'll continue this conversation together. I'm going to take this desk away from here. Can I do that? And I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. Let's start with the the V's, the H's, and the R's. Do you see how I did that? So that way I don't have to pronounce the last names. Introduce yourselves, and then after that, we can go ahead and give the first statements on apologies and experiences, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I'm Dan Vrogap.
I'm Dan's wife, Tiffany.
I'm Carrie Hover.
And I'm Kevin Hover.
I'm Laura Rosa.
I thought you'd say like Sam's.
I'm Sam's wife. Better half. Well,
no,
I don't
compliment
know.
For me there. I was waiting for something nice. You can't start by apologizing.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm joking. Guys, first statements on apologies. As we were talking in my office, we had a great conversation. Let's start by a couple of statements. How important has apology been in your relationships? And biblically, spiritually, how does that have impacted your own life?
I think having the insight and vulnerability to be able to apologize has changed the dynamic. And I know that we've come from experiences where that hasn't always happened and that's looked very different. And I think for me in particular, and just personally, apology has been one of those things that I've had to learn how to do, having had it used against me or having it not turn out like I would want it to be able to have it experienced here in a healthy marriage has been a huge blessing. And I think, like I've said before, just really being able to experience it as the love of Christ, this unconditional love, and a willingness to say, I accept you, even in the midst of all your faults, gives me more freedom to be able to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Mm.
Thank you.
I think when it comes to apology, sometimes we think about it with big things. You know, if I have a huge sin, maybe it comes to mind at that point. But when we're really comfortable in relationships, maybe a parent-child relationship or spouse relationship or a good friend, sometimes there might be small errors or sins that pop up and we can kind of brush off to the side. And we might think in our own head, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or I'm not going to do that again. But we don't actually express the apology. It can really hinder the relationship, and little moments that we lose apologizing can add up to bigger moments. So just realizing, and that's happened in our own marriage, just realizing that we need to express, we need to have a spoken apology has really helped.
Kevin.
So when I think of apology and going back to last week and forgiveness, in my mind, these are two critical steps in terms of reconciling relationships. We talked about last week in forgiveness how the person that hurt you may or may not come to you with an apology, but we are commanded to forgive in spite of that. I think it's so much easier to forgive somebody if that person comes to you and expresses a heartfelt apology, and I think we'll talk about what that kind of looks like here in a few minutes, but just having that heartfelt apology just makes forgiveness so much easier, and that combination of apology and forgiveness, those are the two things that come together to rebuild and restore the relationship.
And Sam and I were talking about that this morning, also kind of making the distinction between the two, and being like, we're only responsible for our part. So we can't withhold forgiveness because we don't get an apology. But at the same time, there's been times in my life where I have apologized and I don't have control of their forgiveness. And so it's just making sure that whichever side that we're responsible for, we are responsible for it, and we have to act that out.
And I think for me, one of the biggest problems on that is that people make mistakes, but then they pretend that the mistake never happened. Have you ever dealt with that? Somebody make a mistake, and then it's like, oh, it never happened, or the attempt to justify the wrongdoing. We it's easy to forgive and to apologize when everything is on the table and you're ready to restore relationship. We all know this, right? That if somebody's recognizing the mistakes being done and is ready to change their lives, we're like, hey, I will forgive you. So they apologize and say, I will forgive you, and I'm ready to get back to the same place where we were at. But when people start to pretend it never happened, they try to cover up or try to justify or try to blame somebody else, I think that's when apology and forgiveness, the both topics, start to get tricky, and we are become unwilling then to either to apologize or to forgive that person. Carrie?
Well, I think that's where it really gets to the heart of the matter, is that if we're spending so much time trying to figure out how it's not our fault, we're never going to get to the apology. And I think that's where we have to really take a step back, maybe take some time to really get to that place of sincerity. Like you're talking about, you can't always expect someone to accept your apology, yeah, but certainly it's going to be better received if it comes from an authentic, sincere place.
Let's talk about that authentic place for apology a little bit. We spent a lot of time on that, talking about that this morning. How does that look like? How helpful it is when you recognize that someone is really being authentic, like really wanting to, the apology really matters. One of the questions I asked today, and we can all tackle this together right now, I'm just opening it up to discussion here. Is there a time also where saying sorry is not enough? Has someone ever made a mistake towards you and they come in and say, like, I'm sorry, and you're like, you're forgiven, but that's not good enough. There's a lot more that you need to demonstrate here, because just saying I'm sorry is just not going to cut it. Yeah, I'm opening the can. Let's dig it in it.
Well, one of the things I was going to mention also is that I think humility has come to mind many this over this last few weeks as we're talking about the subject. And humility is where, in my mind, it kind of all begins. You know, it's where you can now go to that other person and in more in depth apologize than just on that surface level. So,
yeah, and you know, to your point, Sam, when you were talking about saying I'm sorry is not enough, I think depending on what we'll call it, the infraction, right? Depending on what was actually done, there's certain things that, you know, you have your typical conflicts and stuff like that, and those tend to be fairly easy to reconcile. But then when you have, if you're in a relationship where there is a deep hurt that has occurred there, and we, you know, we were talking this morning before church, I think all of us have experienced a real situation where it was a deep hurt, and there needs to be more than saying I'm sorry. And I think the important part to remember is the apology and, you know, the forgiveness, I think they, you know, the two are closely linked in terms of those are the beginning steps of reconciling that relationship. So even though a person says that they're sorry, it may not be enough. It may require a lot more work. And one of the points, I don't want to steal your thunder, but one of the points that you
Laura
brought up.
Laura does that all the time. So
you talked about, you'll get into the effective an effective apology, mm-hmm, here in a few moments, but one of the key items in the effective apology is not just saying sorry, but saying, here's what I've done wrong, and here's what I intend to do to fix it. And that takes a whole nut, you know, when you're talking about humility, you know, that takes a whole nother step of humility to say, not just saying, I'm sorry I hurt you, but I'm sorry I hurt you, and here's what I recognize I did wrong, and here's what I'm going to do to correct it. And when we think about our relationship with the Lord, that's that whole repentance concept of turning away from that and doing something differently. So,
when I think when it comes to authenticity, it's when we come to apologize, it's really focusing on the relationship and how in whatever happened, relationship was broken. And that's one of the things I'm not super consistent on it, but a lot of times when my kids are fighting over silly things, I will say, is the Xbox more important than your brother? Is the whatever you're fighting about, is that more important than the other person? And when we can see that actually know the other person is more important, that's kind of where then you can build on forgiveness and you can build on apology and in saying, you know what, you are important. You're more important than whatever happened between us, and then you start to build on the relationship. Because I don't think just apologizing fixes the problem. It's then deciding, I still want to be in relationship with you. You are still more important than whatever we fought about, and now let's move from here and move on from it.
One of the things that I'm not very good at is apology. We were talking about this at home. Laura's like, oh, you should not be preaching on that. And I was like, well, why do I brought so many help? And it is true, and God has been working this in my heart for a little while. I was teaching Bible study, ladies Bible study, maybe 2-3 months ago. Laura and I had a little dispute in the house, in which I was right, And I knew I was wrong in the matter, and I never apologized for it. I never said, I'm sorry. And then I came here to church, and on a Tuesday morning, we started talking, and the topic came up. You remember that?
I don't know what it was, but yeah. I remember
and
that.
Then yeah. one of the members of the church was like, Sam, did you apologize? And I was like, no. I'm a husband.
Like, just
I don't
passed.
Apologize,
it's
right?
Over.
So then I was like, no, I did not. But let me apologize right here. And I apologized, and humility takes guts to apologize to the person beside you. I apologized that day because of peer pressure, not because of humility. But so I apologized to my wife, and I say, hey, I'm sorry, babe. And since then, I have had this idea in my house, like, it's just not important to say I'm sorry. It is important to show, like, that you're not only apologizing, but you are making amends, that you are changing your life, that you are providing some kind of things that people can grasp to say, oh, for my wife to say, oh, Sam is really changing in this area. Sam is really, he really meant there. And I talk about with you guys about the steps of apology, in my opinion, and we differ a little bit here. You use different words, which I think is great, so that's why I'm bringing it up, because I want us to have a conversation about this. I talk about, for me, apology is like admitting the wrong, learn, correct, and then the act of apologizing, right? So you admit that you made a mistake, you learn from that mistake, you correct that mistake, and then you can go ahead and say, I'm sorry. Carrie, then, the two psych guys, people here, counselors.
Professional counselors.
Can you help?
Professional counselors.
Professional counselors. Can you help us a little bit with that, Carrie? You had some good points.
I was hoping you were going to stick to Dan there. But gosh, I should have written that down, what I said. I think I was talking about saying apology and saying the apology first, mm-hmm. and then having some repentance there of it, and then a change of action might lead to learning from your mistake, showing the actions that I am truly sorry, and I learned from the mistake that I made.
Mm-hmm. You talk a little bit about responsibility and repentance, and I thought that was really cool how you brought that up on, you know, we ought to be responsible for the mistakes we make. A lot of people don't want to do that. And then repentance is really, you combine learning and correction with the idea of repentance, of really turning away with that.
I think it really requires us to have that idea that I can admit that I don't have it all together, that I don't know everything. I think that's what we were kind of hinting towards, is that it's really difficult for people to have this vulnerability that says, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the right answers. I'm not perfect. But it also takes a great amount of vulnerability to show that to other people and say, I did this wrong, I'm really sorry. But then we have to have this internal dialogue that goes on and say, what do I need to do different? Where am I, cheating myself, mm-hmm. maybe, you mm-hmm. know, in saying that this isn't who I am created to be. This isn't honoring to God what I'm doing, and I need to change. And that's... that change is a hard word.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that I like your order of things a little bit better, because if we wait until we learn from our mistake, sometimes we don't ever apologize because our learning, and that's what we were kind of talking about repentance, of repentance rarely is, I did this, I'm sorry for it, I will never, ever, 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 ever in the history of the world do it again. Usually it's, I did this wrong, I'm sorry, I'm trying to do better, and then you mess up and do the same thing again. And so repentance is more of a, you're working towards not doing it. I mean, it's a clear turning from sin, but there's still, it's still a process. And so I think the apology needs to, the heartfelt apology, it might take a little bit of time for you to get your heart behind it, but the learning from it is a definite process of actively living out repentance.
I think it kind of, it, this made me think about our kids a lot. And if you have children, I'm sure you've been in an embarrassing situation where they say something or do something and you're mortified and you have to immediately say, say I'm sorry. And they may say I'm sorry, they may not. But if, even if they do, you know, it might have the eye roll and the sorry. And everyone knows it doesn't mean anything. And as adults, I think we're a little more polished than that. But sometimes I think it can have the same effect. I was just talking with a good friend and neighbor of mine, and she was feeling very frustrated because her husband is great at saying, I'm sorry, but that's it. And she finally got to the point, so why do you keep saying I'm sorry? It is, nothing's changing, you don't mean it. And he said, well, I know it's what you want me to say. And so it kind of took the meaning away from his apology, and it did open up the discussion, though, for them to have, well, okay, thanks for saying I'm sorry, I did want to hear it, but what's next? And then talking about what that means to actually repent for them.
And that's one of the things about apologies, is that you can use apology as a fruit of manipulation. You can manipulate your relationships by saying the word I'm sorry, right? So one of the aspects, the biblical things about apology is that it's really make sure that you recognize your mistake. You take responsibilities for the thing you have done. And it's not only faking about it. It's really taking it to heart and really searching your heart and say, listen, I have done a mistake and I want to change. But there is a language for apology, right? You can't just say,
I'm sorry, you made me really mad.
well, and that's here's the thing. It says, like, I have some different statements here that, you know, it is apologetic, but it doesn't, you don't take responsibility, right? I'm sorry, but, right? That's one. I'm sorry that you're easily offended. That's another one. Are you saying the person should have been hurt? You know, people say that. Are you saying that their hurt wasn't really justified? So you say, like, you know, when you say something like that, I'm sorry, but, oh, I'm sorry that I hurt you, but you're easily offended. You're really telling people, like, hey, it is not my responsibility, it's your responsibility. You are the one being so easily offended. So there is a right way of apologizing, the right steps, the right wording to be said. A way that leaves the buts behind, right? There's no, like, hey, I did this, but. Talk to us a little bit about that. How can we apologize by taking our own responsibility to the mistakes that we have made and on into it?
Yeah, those examples that you gave, it reminded me that they're like backhanded apologies, right? I mean, they really have no meaning. So by doing that, in a lot of ways, you make the situation worse instead of better. And I think the key theme there is going back to what Dan was saying, is humility. I mean, it just comes down to humility and being able to recognize and say, I'm sorry. Here's where I went wrong. And through that, you can begin having that dialogue and that discussion to really get down to the root issue of what's going on. Because a lot of times, what you're fighting about or what went wrong in the situation is actually something a little bit. Another layer deeper of something mm-hmm. else that's going on. So it allows you to have that conversation and begin digging deep. But again, that can be a painful process sometimes because that requires change. And I think we're creatures of habit, and it's easy to say, well, that's just how I am, instead of saying, no, God is calling me to something better and greater.
I think just taking responsibility and saying I'm sorry is taking responsibility that you did something wrong. And that's not easy for anyone. You know, even as we talk about apology, a lot of times we think about other people apologizing to us, or we're waiting for an apology from someone. You don't automatically be like, think of all the times I apologize to people. No, you think about people apologizing to you, because it's not easy to say, I did this wrong, or I really messed up, or I failed, or whatever it is. That's not our automatic go-to of a fun time. I don't know.
I think if I could change the world, that's what I would change, that personal responsibility first, instead of having that outward look of, like, I'm waiting for you to say you're sorry. I'm the one in this position to accept your apology, to really just start saying, okay, there's a part that I played in this, even if I'm waiting, there is a but there, let's say, I need to look at what I'm doing. How did I contribute? How did I maybe hurt that person, even if I didn't mean to? Just take responsibility.
And we had talked about this morning, too, that authentic apology is just acknowledging the actual sin that's involved there. Sometimes I think it's easy to brush things off, little things, because we think it was just an innocent mistake, so I don't really need to apologize for it. But sometimes it goes deeper than that. We had a situation in the last couple of weeks where I got frustrated or upset and probably said something unkind to Dan, and then I realized I had unrealistic expectations in the situation, and that was on me. I needed to apologize that. That was my own sin for really being, it was a self-centered situation, and just acknowledging where your role in it. And again, that's going back to the earlier conversation where we're only in charge of ourselves. We're not in charge of the other person. We're not in charge of their response or what they say to us. But if we're going to be authentic, we have to recognize our own sin.
Usually when it comes to apology, there is a process to admitting your mistakes. And I have a few statements here, and you can jump in at any moment here, and then we'll jump into questions. But on admitting mistakes, we all don't do this. So I'm making these are positive statements that I want you to pay attention and listen. Don't blame others. Don't try to get others to admit the mistakes on your behalf. Stick to the facts and do not make it look like an excuse. This is not a time for cynical humor used as disguise to excuse or to blame someone else. Indicate what you have learned from the mistakes and how not to repeat it again. If there is not an immediate correction, provide the process and time frame for the correction of the mistakes that you're making. Ask for more input from others. Apologize to those who have wasted their time. So when I think about apology, I think about all these statements and how we go against it in the process of apologizing to someone else, right? It's sticking to the fact. Most dramas are caused in relationship because we are not looking at the facts. We are looking at our emotions and allowing our emotions just to take over, to control. And then you're creating this whole, like, scenario that is not necessarily true in your life, in your relationship, in a specific situation. I think about, like, how we make excuses for everything, right? We live in the world of excuses. It is not my fault, it is your fault, and that justifies my behavior. And I think that's one of the biggest disservice we do to relationships. And that is really going against the idea of admitting to the mistakes that we have made. And I can't tell you how many times in my relationship with my wife or with my relationship with my kids, I'm trying to blame them. I'm trying to have them take the mistakes on my behalf. Aren't they supposed to serve me, right? So take the responsibility yourself and let me out of the hook. And I think so many times we are missing credibilities, we are destroying the credibilities, the trust on our relationships because of these statements that I just made. I talked before about how to effectively apologize, and I have four statements here for you to take home. Here's, if you want to do it well, if you want to be the kind of people that are humble and want to apologize, I think these four statements will help you out. Name what you did wrong. Don't just say sorry. Name it. hey, Laura, I'm sorry that I used such a word towards you today. Or I'm sorry I was not considerate enough. Be specific about the action, right? Make it all about you. You're going to apologize. It is because you made a mistake. It doesn't matter what the person did. It is about you. Inform the person you're hurt of the personal changes being made in your own personal life. We ought to be able to do that. Apology becomes authentic, we were talking about, when you're willing to say, hey, I made a mistake, and I'm going to correct this aspect in my life. And use the right language and the right attitude. I love Proverbs, verse 16:24 says, these pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, I love that because it gives you this, like, right message that you pass and right attitude to be passed along when you're apologizing. Any comments on that, guys?
That's one of my favorite Bible verses, first off. But again, it's funny when you're praying about a certain topic or a certain issue and reading the Bible about it and discussing it, how God brings situations about in your life. Just this past week, I had a situation with a coworker slash friend, and there was some miscommunication, and I felt very offended. My feelings were hurt, and I felt like I had to confront the person. And I went into it a little too emotional. I did. And this person, though, it was incredible the way she handled it. She immediately took responsibility for her part in the miscommunication and apologized, and it was very sincere. And it was very obvious to me that it was sincere. And she completely diffused the situation. I'm on the spot. Within a matter of a couple of minutes, we got through the miscommunication. I was then able to apologize. And I admit, had she responded differently or come at me in a defensive tone, it would have just escalated in a completely unnecessary way. And instead, it de-escalated. We were able to talk through it. I think we both learned from it. And it just taught me a huge lesson. It went through all the steps you talked about in apologizing and naming the sin, the error, apologizing for it. And we talked about how we could avoid that happening again in the future. And I just think to myself, if we could all do that in our relationships, you know, our relationships at home, with our children, with our friends, with our coworkers, how much quicker we could get through uncomfortable situations or dramas, like you said, and get to a place of just peace and not having those distractions of hurt feelings and negative emotions. The apology is huge.
I think, too, the important part of that is that sincere regret. You know, you're taught, you use the example of the husband that just was like, well, that's what you want to hear, is I'm sorry. There's no sincerity behind that. There's no identification, and I understand where you're coming from, and I think we need to do that. I think we offer too many excuses. You know, I think about just raising our kids. We're like, oh, well, they're tired, you know, or, you know, we're offering them excuses for their behavior and not exampling for them. Like, you need to own that, even if you're tired, even if you're hungry.
That's huge right there. Kids are tired, and we're like, they can do whatever they want.
Do whatever
free
want.
Ticket. I tell my wife I'm tired all the time, and I don't get the free ticket. One question for us to finalize here. Then everybody to talk, and it's just a specific aspect of your own life. And Laura and I will talk about as pastor and pastor's wife. Does apologizing undermine my place of authority? I think we are taught to be perfect, and that's not a biblical teaching, right? God makes us perfect. We are taught not to make mistakes and to love people for their perfection, but reality, Jesus loved us because of our imperfection. I have talked about that many times. I'm passionate about this. I even talked about this morning. Have you ever I was talking to Carrie. Have you ever done a premarital counseling where you ask the person, what is the imperfection of your soon-to-be spouse that you love? Have you ever asked that question for yourself? What is it about my wife? What is it about my girlfriend? What is it about my friend that is horrible that I love it? Right? Well, you know, we never ask the person, we don't love our spouse, our friends, for the imperfections. We love them because of their perfection. And that, I think, is the biggest disservice, because Jesus loved you not because of your perfection. He loves you because of what? Of your imperfection. While you're enemy of God, while you're in your sins, he came and he's like, it doesn't matter what you have done, I'm going to love you, right? So he loved us on our imperfection. So we ought to love other people because of their imperfection. And so, but we are like, no, we got to be perfect. So I have this place of authority, and this place of authority, perfection means that I should never say I'm sorry. How many times have you seen a pastor, you know, I asked this question and Carrie Hoover answered, so I'll ask the question perfect. And you answer. I was like, how many times have you seen a pastor come before the congregation apologizing for the mistakes that he has made?
When they get caught.
Right? And I, me and Laura, we want to change that. We know that we are not perfect, and we know that we're going to make mistakes in counseling you or living life with you, and we want to be able to apologize openly and transparently. And in the same time, not lose our place of authority. How does that work? Talk to me. Does apologizing undermine my place of authority?
Well, in I think of 18 plus years of leadership, mm-hmm. I think I run into the same thing. And it's probably been of all the things I've learned in leadership, that's probably the area that I have learned the most, which is when you're apologizing for those things that you've done as a leader, you're showing that you're transparent. You're showing that you're more or less a regular person like everybody else. The falsehood of leadership needs to be right. They have the answers to everything. Is false. And the more you show in your leadership that you are open and that you are ready and you're sincere with your apologies when those things happen, because they will happen, mm-hmm. Then it opens up doors and it helps that employee or coworker or whoever it may be even want to work with you more. I mean, mm-hmm. it's an engaging type of thing. You know, people want to be more involved in that. So
Dan's a businessman, so he's talking about on that aspect. Tiffany, as a teacher, how does that work in the workplace? Do you apologize for kids? If you do, what happened?
It's funny. I've taught grades kindergarten through sixth grade. I'm sixth grade now. And children respond differently to apologies and need different kinds of apologies throughout their ages. Younger kids take an I'm sorry, and they're happy with it. They're good with it usually. Older kids, they take it with a grain of salt. A lot mm-hmm. of kids, unfortunately, have been burnt. You know, they don't believe things until they see it. And so I think we had talked about the languages of apology. And some people, based on their past and their experiences, and this is with coworkers, teachers, students, parents, sometimes words don't really mean anything at all. And you have to show an apology with your actions and, mm-hmm. and what you're doing. So just living out the apology with them, and that goes in my teacher role and in my personal roles as well.
Okay.
I want to say that to answer your question about, you know, married people not finding anything less than perfection attractive, I would say that the thing that's most attractive to me about my husband is the humbleness that he shows. Like, if someone were to say what attracted you to him to begin with, it quite honestly was him being able to say, I realize I messed up, you know, and there are a lot of things that were outside of his control in his life, and yet he still is very adamant to say, this is where I messed up, and this is what I'm going to do different, and I've seen a commitment to that consistently for as long as I've known him, and that is extremely attractive to me. As a counselor, that's what I look for in relationships, too, is that commitment to authenticity and in saying, I know that I can do things wrong, and I do things wrong as a counselor, if that's what you're wanting me to answer. I didn't show up for an appointment last week. That was very wrong. And I did apologize. And I do think it's the sincerity of one, it's not a habit of mine. It's something out of the norm, and I'm willing to make retribution mm-hmm. for that. And they still liked me. That was good.
So your question on whether or not apology affects authority, I think it actually strengthens authority in the sense that, you know, to what you were saying is that you as a leader, you build your character in the workplace by showing genuineness, authenticity, saying I don't have all the right answers, and I think that builds and strengthens your level of authority. I see authority, there's two different ways you can lead. You can force people to lead, and you can say, I'm the boss and you need to do it my way, or it's my way or the highway. I think a lot of I've heard of a lot of men in particular who treat their children that way, which is very wrong. I think you lead and inspire. True leadership is taking a person to a place that they would not otherwise go. So you can't really force a person. You can force a person to comply, but to get them to truly change and follow your leadership just takes respect and authenticity. And I think just showing apology does that. And I'm quick to apologize to our girls, you know, if I react too strongly or to get, you know, too hard on them or whatnot, I'm quick to apologize to them. And I think that actually builds and strengthens our relationship, because they see me as somebody who is not perfect. So.
Laura?
I think that's probably one of the enemy's biggest lies that keeps us from apologizing, because that's something that is just kind of ingrained in us. Like, if you apologize, it shows weakness. You'll lose your authority, that people won't respect you anymore because you're saying, I did something wrong. So you're admitting that you're not as good as what they might think you are. But in reality, when apology is actually acted out, it strengthens authority, it strengthens relationships, and for people to actually follow after you. But for me, as a mom, I have perfected apology. Like, I apologize to my kids daily. I'm not that pleasant person all of the time. Not even most of the time with them. And so I have really, I decided early on when they were still babies that was something that I was going to do with them. And that it really just has built on relationships. When I can say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus as much as you do. I need Jesus as much as anybody else in this world. And for them to see that I am dependent on the Lord, that I am not perfect in my own strength, it also helps them, praying that it helps them to see that they also will always need Jesus.
Thanks, guys. Let's pray. Jesus, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, that if we recognize our mistakes, if we take responsibility for them and before you, you are faithful to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. I pray that this morning we would come to that realization that you are a God who forgive us, and you are a God who delight in us taking responsibility for the mistakes that we have made, but most importantly, that we will take them to you. Lord, I pray that we will develop the heart of apology. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing one last song.